Hello and welcome to Inside the School District, a weekly discussion providing you with relevant news, recent developments, and must-have information about what's happening inside the Mat-Su School District, moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio this morning four people. I'm going to begin with the principal of Finger Lake Elementary School, and she'll talk about who else is here.
Thank you, Mike. Good morning. My name is Susan Steele, and I'm the principal at Finger Lake Elementary School. We've had a great start to the year. The enthusiasm and excitement has been incredible. It's been smooth, and we want to highlight one of our programs that we have at Finger Lake. It is a district-wide program. It's the Talented and Gifted program, and I have brought with me today Rebecca Brubaker, who is one of our parents, Miss Julie Hardy, who's one of two teachers in the program at Finger Lake, and River Brubaker, who's one of our fifth grade students and has been there since the beginning 3 years ago. So we're in our third year, and we're excited to share more with you about our program as we do have some openings still in the program, Mike.
Okay, well, let's begin perhaps here, and then we'll go on.
Good morning. My name is Julie Hardy. I am a teacher in the Talented and Gifted program at Finger Lake Elementary, as Ms. Steele said, and I'm here to give you some information about what the program looks like each day and how it started. It's a third through fifth grade self-contained program within Finger Lake, so it's a school within a school model, and it's made up of talented and gifted students who have been identified throughout the district. So these students are coming from multiple homeschools, and they are brought to Finger Lake by parents. And it is a choice option, so it is available district-wide. And it's just one of the many wonderful opportunities that students in our district have to get what they need to be successful.
Okay. So I, in a former life, had some involvement with a variety of the different forms of gifted and talented and extended learning programs, a variety of names, et cetera. So I'm curious today, just from the standpoint of what happens when a student arrives and they're part of this program that would be different than the regular program at Finger Lake Elementary School.
Excellent. So what makes this program different is that it is a self-contained core instruction program. So the students are with their TAG peers throughout the day. Mr. Boyden is my teaching partner, so he and I provide all academic instruction for these students throughout the day. They receive reading, math, science, social studies, and other extensions right in our classroom while still participating in Finger Lake events, so they're still part of the school. They go to specials with the other Finger Lake kids. They have lunch and recess, and they're allowed access to any clubs or extended learning opportunities that we provide.
Okay. Maybe we should hear from a participant in the program.
Hi, my name is River Brubaker. I'm a student in the TAG program. Been here for 3 years. I'm a fifth grader. And I think the TAG program is really a good opportunity for me to be with other students like me.
So you say you've been in this particular program for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So what is there about it that really you like most when you think about all the different things that you do there?
Well, besides the teachers, I think I really like how it's two teachers. So you get, and it all mixes around in different classes, you know. So it's kind of like middle school.
Ah, in an early stage.
Yeah, so we switch back and forth throughout teachers.
Oh, well, that's good information. So do the teachers ask you to give them feedback about what you like or what you'd like to have done differently? Did they ever ask you about that?
Sometimes they do.
Okay. Well, that's good. Because I'm thinking you've been in for 3 years. Has the program changed in that time? You know, if you think back to day one?
Yeah. First year, it was just Miss Hardy as a teacher.
Ah.
And we had the two classrooms mixed together with third, fourth, and fifth students. And then last year, we had Miss Hardy and Mr. Boyden in two different teachers.
Okay. And that was a good thing?
Yeah, it was a good thing.
Okay. All right. Well, we also have a parent here. And I'm thinking maybe a word or two from you about when this program was proposed, what did you think about it as far as having your student be part of it?
I felt like it was long overdue in the district to have a classroom specifically for TAG students.
Okay. And when did you begin to think that your student would be properly placed there?
When River was in kindergarten, we became aware that he was neurologically different than other students, his same age peers.
Okay.
And that a mainstream classroom might not be a good fit for him.
Okay. All right. Okay. And maybe just switching to, we still have the principal here in, because over the years, I know there's been all kinds of discussion and approaches of how you do this. Do you provide pullouts? Do you have a student who's going to be mainstreamed in courses and will have some additional work? You'll have some cases. There were examples of people coming into classrooms and working with students and so on. But from an administrative standpoint, as you're looking at how this is working within the school, can you say anything about that?
Certainly. Our goal when we first, and I want to give a shout out to Rebecca Brubaker. She was one of our parents who was an advocate to get this program in our building. And it's been a huge success. As River mentioned, the growth to two teachers last year was something we're really excited and proud of. So we just want to get the word out that folks who need access or think it might be a good fit for them should contact us so that we can help guide them through that process.
Okay, what kind of process is required in order to have a student go from a mainstream classroom to this particular program?
Students who are talented and gifted can apply via a boundary exemption to be a part of our program.
Okay.
We have spots available, and that's the only requirement if they're already identified as talented and gifted, that they apply to and be a part of our school just like any other student on a boundary exemption would. It's a choice option, and students could choose our program. And if they have questions, they should just call us at Finger Lake, and we'll be happy to walk them through that process.
Okay, identification, that's kind of an interesting thing. Do you want to speak maybe the teacher's been involved in the program. How does identification happen?
Well, the district uses the standardized test as a screening. So usually the measures of academic progress is our first identifier. And from there, we develop a body of evidence to support that the student should be tested for the TAG program and
okay.
then identified through the school districts. Right now they're using the COGAT test. So that's a cognitive abilities test. And if the students are identified as TAG, then, as Mrs. Steele said, they are identified as TAG in the district, and they are eligible to apply for the program.
Okay. Now, I've known in the past that parents have been involved in a support group or an organization of some sort. Have you worked with other parents in supporting or encouraging the district to do this kind of program?
Yes. I think that especially for kids who have been in the district for multiple years, that before this program started, I think there was some frustration with parents needing more or things not being the same across different schools and not having actually a variety of options at all. So this changed everything. Now, this is more like they have in larger school districts, like in Anchorage, having an option where their child in such a big rural area can go and be with children that are similar to themselves and have similar learning needs.
Okay. Now, one of the great issues always discussed here in the MATSU is the question of transportation, because we are spread wide and far. Is transportation a significant issue? How do you handle that in the school?
Great question. We wish, because we believe in what we're doing so much, that we have the opportunity to bus kids in from all over the district. We know from testimonies that it changes kids' lives, and if we could, we would bring everybody to our school on a bus. Unfortunately, with our structure the way it is a choice option, which means that parents are responsible for their own transportation, which I know hinders some. Generally speaking, families testify at our parent meetings and our parent nights that that it's so impactful to their child that they'll figure it out because they're going to get them there and have them have access to this program because it's unique. It is a small school structure where kids are with their same age peers, with the same needs that they have. We know that from research that that is what talented and gifted kids need. And so, unfortunately, we can't provide transportation. It is a choice option unless you're in our Finger Lake boundary, in which case you could ride the bus. However, if you're outside the boundary, it is just like any other program. Parents are responsible for dropping their kids.
Okay, so one of the things that's happening in the world all about us is that computers and technology are developing. Are you involved with any technology, computers, et cetera? How does that fit into the program?
Well, in our classroom, we have a laptop cart, which has 30 small tablets.
Okay.
And we use those. We use those a lot instead of borrowing the school ones.
Ah.
So we use those.
Okay. What do you use them for? What do
you
do?
We use them to research stuff. We use them to search up stuff. We use them to answer questions that we want to know.
Okay. Okay. And that leads me to the question about the teacher and preparation and technology from your perspective. How's it working?
I think it's an excellent thing to integrate technology into classrooms because it does allow the students an option for self-pacing and allowing them to work through things that otherwise, you know, differentiating between three grade levels in one classroom is a challenge, but technology does provide, it provides a tool that the kids can use and I can use, and they're not just sitting on computers all day. It becomes, I act as a facilitator.
Mm-hmm.
And as River said, we do research projects, we do math projects, we do exploratories that allow the students to, as he said so beautifully, answer the questions that they want answered. And that's really what technology should be used as, is a tool to facilitate learning. And that's how we integrate it in. We also do a lot of coding.
Mm-hmm.
The kids really enjoy that. And Mr. Boyden, my teaching partner, does excellent language arts lessons with them. So they do a lot of writing and they do a lot of peer review and editing. And again, it's just another way to prepare them for future endeavors.
Okay. What about your preparation in terms of getting ready to be able to do this? Had you been a teacher in another setting? And mm-hmm. What additional preparation did you find you needed?
Well, I'm currently pursuing my master's degree and my gifted and talented endorsement. So I'm working through that. And just with previous teaching experience and my own research and being a TAG parent myself, I also just came into the program having an understanding of what these students need. So in terms of preparation for my daily lessons, you have to be prepared to be flexible. That's what I'm going to say. You really have to understand that the kids need you to be flexible as a teacher, and you come in with a structure, but you also have to be prepared that they are going to go in a different direction than maybe you had planned, and you have to kind of roll with that, and that's okay. So I think that's the one thing that as I really got to know my students that I found was the most beneficial for them was me kind of having that end goal, but how they got there, how we all met at the finish line was really self-directed for them.
Okay. Now, I know that there have been a variety of movements that have looked toward individual education plans across the spectrum of students. Are students in this particular program, they're individuals. They have talents in different directions. Are individualized education plans created, or how's that handled? How do you track and evaluate?
The individual learning plans, of course, we would create any documentation necessary based on the needs of an individual student.
Okay.
But again, the learning plans, a couple of the tools that we use in the classroom, the kids, again, are really in charge of. So one of the things that we are working with is something that they use in the middle and high schools, the Alaska CIS program. So the kids are able to build a portfolio for themselves. As far as individual learning plans, I have heavy contact with the parents and constant flow of communication and really, you know, assessing what the students need as individuals and not lumping them together. But again, it depends on the individual needs of the student.
Okay. So from the student perspective, one more time here, as we're getting toward the end, how do you feel about being able to tell the teachers, explain what you'd like to do? How are you part of the building of the plan of what you're going to do every day?
Well, very honored that I get to put input on what we do every day or what we do the next day or the next.
Okay.
So it's really fun because then we're doing not just one thing, but not just one thing one person wants, but everything everyone wants.
Okay. And that's an interesting thing because there's been a lot of discussion about how much involvement, how early to bring a student into the process so that someone doesn't walk into the school and feel they're going to be told where to go, what to do, et cetera, but have some part in deciding that. Sounds like that's part of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. That's good. Well, let me ask then the principal, what is the future going to bring?
Oh, well, we hope to grow our program. We do have some spots, and currently we grew to two teachers. It's a really good fit that Ms. Harding and Mr. Boyden can switch for subject areas, as River mentioned, for getting students prepared for middle school. It definitely reminds us of a middle school model or other grade switch for ability grouping, but in the TAG program, they switch for subject area. And so really Mr. Boyden and Ms. Hardy become expertise in specific content areas. We hope to get the word out. We want to make sure that people know we exist. So the future for us is to do a little advertising, do a little promotions, however we can, so that people know we're there. I mean, when I say this, I really believe it. We want people to have access because it really changes lives. You know, when we had our parent informational nights, testimony after testimony after testimony of parents saying, my child comes home excited to learn every day. They're no longer bored in class. They're no longer feeling like they're the tutor or the helper or just given extra worksheets. Their lives are changed. They are excited to learn. They're excited to do their work. They're passionate about going to school. They're with friends that they care and love. And our goal, our next steps, our priority for what the future holds is to make sure that people know we are there and that we're available to answer questions and walk them through any process that they need support with so that they can learn more about us.
Okay. Then as a parent, are you willing to talk to other potential parents who would be interested in this program? Have you done some of that where people say, what's your experience?
Yes, I have answered a lot of questions from parents. I think that a lot of TAG families in the Valley think that there isn't anything for their child until third grade, but there's a lot you can do before that too, and to get them ready to maybe attend the TAG class. It would be great in the future if it was a K through fifth grade program, but maybe that's a few years away. So I think talking to other parents who have some experience is probably one of the most helpful things, that especially a newly identified family, or even a family that hasn't been identified through the program, but they know themselves that their child may be a little different and might need something extra.
Okay. Okay. So now, last comments from a student. So if you were talking to students that were thinking about the program, what would you tell them?
Well, I would tell them that they should try it out, which they have. Students who wanted to join, they tried out a day.
Okay.
They visited the school and walked around, checked out what the environment was.
Okay.
And so if they like that, they should really get into and like try to push forward on the TAG experience.
Okay, Mike Malevsky here. I've been talking with four people involved in one way or another with the TAG program at Finger Lakes School, a principal of the school, a parent, a student, and a teacher. Any last things any of you want to say before we finish? Pretty much said it all. Okay, well, I thank you again for coming in here today, and have a good day, and maybe we'll be able to check in with you a bit further down the year to see how things have progressed since this time.
Okay.
Okay.
You've been listening to Inside the School District, a weekly discussion providing you with information about what's happening in the Mat-Su schools, moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.